Welcome to Body Ecology's Detoxification Training Program. Today, we're having a special bonus, a question and answer class with Donna Gates. We got so many excellent questions, so we're going to do our best to get through as many as we can today. And now, I'd like to welcome Donna Gates to today's class. Let's get started. We have a number of different questions, and a lot of the questions that we got actually were really interesting because they were about the one of the biggest and most important pieces of body ecology, which is fermented foods and drinks. So we're going to cover that today, as well as other types of questions on colon cleansing, how to detox, and particularly with your liver. Where I'd like to start today is with some of the liver questions because it's kind of where we got started with this training. So, Donna, one of the questions we got from our participant is, what specifically are the best foods to eat that support your liver?
We have a handout in, I think, class two where we go into this so people can go back and check their notes. But the most important, most valuable foods are the fermented foods, cultured foods. And especially like the cultured vegetables, they're usually made with cabbage, kale, members of the cruciferous family, other members of the cruciferous family like broccoli and cauliflower and so on, all of those, Brussels sprouts, that entire family is a family of cleansing vegetables. And when you take, say, cabbage and kale, collards and so on, and shred them up and get them into, ferment them into a cultured vegetables, they're even more potent as a cleanser. So they're phenomenal for cleansing. I would love to see the world change into a place where it was normal for us to always have a serving of fermented cabbage or vegetables with every single meal. They're doing that in other parts of the world, like in Korea. They always have kimchi with their meals. Now, the other food that's a powerful cleanser for body ecology is our young coconut kefir. Coconut water by itself has always been known to be cleansing for the kidneys and the heart and the blood and the liver, but it's too rich in sugar. So what we recommend is that you ferment the coconut kefir and then you undo the damaging part of the coconut water. You still get this powerful cleanser, but actually it's even much more powerful as a cleanser when it's fermented. So, you know, fermented foods are at the top of the list. And then the raw foods diet, the way we do it, body ecology style, that means we don't eat a lot of fruits. You know, we stick with the very sour fruits like lemons, limes, pomegranate juice is very sour. So stick with the very, very sour fruits and keep them to a minimum. And we do a lot of vegetables, but always fermented. See, a lot of people can't digest raw vegetables. And some vegetables shouldn't be eaten raw anyway, like the cruciferous family, cabbage and kale and broccoli and so on, should never be eaten raw. They should always be at least steamed and fermented is best. Then they're digestible. Otherwise, they suppress the thyroid and bring the energy of the body down. So, you know, raw foods diet, the way we recommend doing it, is the diet to do when you're going through a liver cleanse or if it's springtime, which is the time of the year when the liver naturally goes into a natural detoxing phase anyway, that's when you want to move into raw. Summer is a really good time because we're still cleansing through the summer, sweating and so on. So staying more raw, which is naturally going to keep our bodies cooler and more comfortable in the hot summer months. What you want to do, too, though, is avoid alcohol, drugs, medicinal and recreational drugs are very damaging to the liver. Lots of people are on lots of drugs today, and anytime you take a drug, it's always going to be harmful to the liver. Sugar is harmful to the liver. Stress is harmful to the liver. And, of course, bad oils are very damaging to the liver, and that's what we've been surviving on for generations are these really bad, refined, overcooked, bleached, deodorized oils. And so we've been damaging our liver for generations, really. And babies, even in the womb, have struggle with a congested, damaged, their liver isn't as healthy as you would want your baby's liver to be. Leafy greens are very powerful, and there's all kinds of herbs. We have a product called Livamin that's a powerful, powerful liver cleanser. dandelion, milk thistle. The earth is covered with all types of special plants that really help cleanse the liver, and also build energy. And remember, I've said this a million times. I always say this over and over so people eventually really get it. First and foremost, you've got to create more energy in your body, and that will then allow your body to cleanse better. Okay.
Great. And one of the other questions that we got was, what if you want to do a liver cleanse, but at the same time your body's craving fat?
Well, the body craves fat because it needs fat. You know, we don't make healthy hormones without fat, and our brain certainly needs fat, certain fats. I think that a lot of the reason the older generation is dealing with Alzheimer's now is because they switched from butter, real raw butter that they were raised on, to margarine. And that's an important fat for the brain, but so is the fat that you find in fish oil. So we need to be eating fats, and fats are important for the brain, for having beautiful, just beauty, period. Our hair, our skin, our nails have more moisture in them. Vision, fats are important for vision, for heart health, and so on. So you're going to crave them if you're deficient in them. And if you don't have the ability to digest them, that's what you have to fix. One thing you can do is if you really, really have a congested liver, it's probably a very good idea to start off by resting the liver initially for a couple of weeks. So just pull all fats out of the diet completely, give the liver a break. But you can do things like rub fats into your skin. For example, coconut oil rubbed into the skin will still nourish your thyroid. The coconut oil, remember, coconut oil is good for the thyroid, so rub it into your skin. It's a great conditioner for the skin. You can rub it into your scalp. In India, they rub it into their scalp to make their hair grow thicker. So some people have even, recommended putting it on your eyelashes. It's an amazingly healthy oil to put in our body, and then it bypasses the liver and goes right in. At least you're getting one nice fat that will give you, it's a plant saturated fat that will give you energy, but without having to go through the liver. And so that's one possibility. But when you begin to eat fats again, when you add them back in, or even now, the fermented foods, if you start on the fermented foods first, they're going to correct your digestion tremendously. And so when you begin to add fats back in slowly, but sure, just add a little, add them in gradually, and add in the easier ones, like olive oil is an easy one, coconut oil is very easy to digest. Your cooked saturated fats are the fats that are going to give you a problem, like the fats you find on cooked meat are the hardest to digest. If you make yourself a broth, be sure you put it in the refrigerator and take all that the saturated fat will harden, and you want to skim all that off. So that you will always want to avoid. But you'll slowly introduce these good, healthy fats that we recommend on the diet into your body. And fish oil is another good one to begin with from the very beginning. Just start with small amounts. Let your body get used to this fat you're putting back into it. But you've already done some things to correct digestion. And, of course, use digestive enzymes. They, particularly pancreatin, ox bile, and the enzymes that have lipase in them, those are the enzymes that are particularly excellent at helping digestion of fat. You can buy those in the health food store. We also have two great digestive enzymes that have a significant source of lipase in them because, of course, to me, digestion is everything, and I do feel that people are out there using tons of supplements they don't need. But there are some that are really valuable to keep on hand and spend your money on, and digestive enzymes are a must. Some people have had their gallbladder removed, so they will always have trouble digesting fats. The gallbladder is supposed to, the body's supposed to eventually learn to compensate for that, but I don't think it does very well. You can tell because you can look at people's hair and skin, and they just look very dehydrated. But I think that's when I usually recommend to people who have had their gallbladder removed to always use pancreatin and ox bile when they eat fats. Ox bile is replacing the bile that your own liver, gallbladder would have made. Well, liver would have made, gallbladder would have stored, but now your gallbladder is removed. So just there's a lot of things that you can do, but those are some really basic must-dos.
Great. And everybody, like Donna said earlier, you can go check your handout number 2 and handout number 3, and there will be a lot of good information there to help you with this. Another question, you did talk about standard liver cleanses or those liver cleanses out on the market. This participant wants to know about the liver cleanse where you drink apple juice for 5 days. Then on day six, you do a glass of Epsom salts and water. And then, you know, before going to bed, you drink about 4 ounces of olive oil mixed with 6 ounces of grapefruit juice, and that's supposed to get rid of stones. So what are your thoughts about a cleanse like that?
Well, first of all, those globules that come out are, it's very questionable. Some people doubt whether that really is, that isn't just the olive oil coming back out in the toilet that you find. But I think these are kind of cleanses are dangerous. First of all, can you imagine surviving for 5 days on apple juice? You would have a quite acute yeast infection by that time. Most everybody that we work with, you know, has had or is dealing with a yeast infection. And yeast, if you've had a yeast infection, it can always be reactivated very quickly in your body. And doing something that, like this would definitely reactivate it very quickly. It's just too acidic. It's too sweet. And it's not, so maybe, you know, somebody thinks it's a good idea for cleansing the liver. Why? Is it giving it a break or something? But from eating, there are far better ways to cleanse the liver than this one. I guess people are looking for quick answers, but that's not the way you clean a congested, dense organ like the liver. It's designed not to let toxins out quickly. If it did let the toxins out quickly, we would die from all the toxins suddenly coming out. And so it's designed to let toxins out slowly, surely, steadily. And we have to begin to understand that and slowly, surely, steadily cleanse the liver. So I think things like this are not good to do, but also are even dangerous to do. And I hope, you know, especially in that second class, that I made that really, you know, crystal clear so that I mean, of course, if people don't want to believe me, that's fine too. You know, find out for yourself. Don't just believe anything I say. But I really tried to make that clear, is that it's a very naive understanding out in the world right at the moment that we can just go in the store, purchase a liver cleansing product, and take it, and good, our liver's cleansed in 10 days or something. That's just not how it works.
I think that was a really important point, Donna. Thank you. And now we're going to move on to a series of questions on colon cleansing. One of the participants has said that they have a Kleema board, and they want to know if they should do professional colonics in addition to Kleemas, or is there a benefit to, you know, both or one or the other? What would you recommend?
I used to recommend in the beginning, if someone has never been to a professional colon therapist, it's a good idea to find a good therapist. Ask around. Find a therapist that, even call the therapist up and interview her and make or him and make sure that you feel comfortable with them. But when you are, it's a new procedure. You know, most people are not comfortable with cleaning their colon, and they have all kinds of reasons, you know, fears and concerns. So going to a professional colon therapist they clean the colon all the time, and that they know it saves lives, and they're like medical, you know, they're like nurses practically. So they're very nonchalant about it, and you'll feel quite comfortable, you know, going. So that's why I usually say to people, go for a professional colonic in the beginning when they're new to colon therapy. If somebody's reached the point where they've purchased a Kleema board and they're comfortable with using that, they probably don't need to necessarily go if they're doing it properly, they don't need to go for a colonic. That's the nice thing about a Kleema board. You'll spend $350 or so. And if you've got a whole, several members of your family that are needing colonics, then it's going to be much more economical for you. But no, you wouldn't have to go for a professional colonic if you're using a Kleema board. In the Kleema bucket, you've got about 5 gallons of water. In a professional colonic, you have about 10 gallons of water, so you would just be able to fill your bucket up twice and relax. You're in your own bathroom. You're maybe feeling more comfortable. But at the same time, it's more convenient for a lot of people just to go and spend an hour with their colon therapist and leave feeling great. After a colon therapy session, you always want to rest and let the body use the energy for healing. And then the other thing is, I think it's very important with the, and you, this is a plus to the Kalima board or doing home enemas, is you can put things in the water that are very good for you, like minerals, for example. In the water, helps minerals help stimulate peristaltic movement. The professional colon therapists are not allowed to put anything inside of a person by law except for pure water. They can't do implants. Now, you can go to a colon therapist and then come home and do your own implant and put in a cup of very nourishing liquidy, you know, like water, young coconut kefir, or a tea that you've used with minerals in it, and wheatgrass or vitamin C or whatever, you know, just something that you know would be really good for your body. You can put into the things that you would normally take by mouth, you can also put into your implant as well. That might be more convenient to do at home. So there's a plus and minus to both of them. I wouldn't say, fortunately, we have both available to us.
I think that's a good point. And we also, for anybody that wants to learn more about the difference between Kalimas, colonics, and enemas, Donna's website, bodyecology.com, if you go to the articles archive, you can do a search for Kalima, and you'll find an article and learn more information on that. Donna, one other question that we got is, there's one of the participants is wondering what causes watery diarrhea after eating a meal. This person says that they seem to have very loose stools all the time. So can you just, we've addressed diarrhea in the call with Pam Craig. Could you give a little bit of more information on that?
Well, it would really be impossible to say, but what I would want that person to do is to take a stool test from someone, place like Genova Diagnostics. They would be able to identify if she was dealing with pathogenic bacteria or parasites. They're not always 100% accurate, but they're surprisingly accurate. And at least you would get you would be guessing what's going on in there. And then a lot of times diarrhea is actually constipation. Water, the body is trying to get around a bolus or mass of fecal material, and it's keeping the chyme in a watery state to get it around and out of the body. So diarrhea is often constipation. I would also recommend the person do home enemas or go for a colonic and see if that is, you know, their problem. And then, of course, you know, colon therapy can also rinse away pathogens in the gut. And if you're then heavily repopulating the gut with good beneficial bacteria, you're going to you need a lot of them, because if you've got a really virulent pathogen in there, the little good guys coming in may not be able to fight against this pathogen that's maybe had a stronghold, you know, been in your gut for a while and is living there, thriving there. The new guys might not be able to knock out the bad guy. So sometimes it's good to rinse out the colon and begin to heavily populate with the new bacteria, really potent new bacteria like you'll find in the foods, young coconut kefir, cultured vegetables, the probiotic liquids. We have a really, really super potent first generation good guys or beneficial bacteria and beneficial yeast, and that's what you want to populate your gut with. But it's hard to answer a question like this without more information.
Okay, and I think that's a good point that you made there, Donna. We did get a lot of very specific questions from people about the specific symptoms that they were experiencing or health conditions, and it can be difficult outside of a consult with Donna or a consult with one of the body ecology coaches. It can be difficult to answer these questions because no one has your full health picture, and it would be really do you more of a disservice to answer the question without having that information. So for anyone that sent us those questions, we thank you for them, and we'll do our best to answer maybe at more at a general level. I think the point that you made about getting tested, Donna, is really great. And for anyone that wonders about Genova Diagnostics, if you go to your handout number from class number 6, there's a link there because Dr. Leonard Smith mentioned it. So you'll see a link right in your handout. You can go there and check that out. So, Donna, we have another question from our participant who's asking, if you're naturally detoxing with the body ecology diet and doing, you know, taking some extra supplements and digestive enzymes and things like that, why would it still be necessary to do colon cleansing with enemas, Kalimas, et cetera?
Well, I always say, people ask me all the time, you know, how many do you do? When do you do them? And so on. And again, that's another difficult question to answer because it's an individual Each person is an individual, and I always believe that you should do it on an as-needed basis. There are some people that don't need them. We have, for example, in our work with children with autism, some of them respond immediately to the probiotic foods and the diet, and their bowels start to work really well. They go from having gut dysbiosis to having healthy stools, and they wouldn't need to do colon therapy. And, of course, with a 3-year-old, 4- or 5-year-old child, it's more difficult to do. Well, you certainly, it would be more difficult to take them to a professional colon therapist. But their mothers, the mothers in our bedrock group, Body Ecology Diet Recovering Our Kids, do enemas with their children all the time on an as-needed basis, even with a little with the little babies when they become constipated, and they know how effective they are. So, but that might be, you know, the autism community is a good example of some parents are finding that enemas useful and some are finding that they're not needed. Same with us as adults. Some people may not need them, but if you do need them, even a person who's like kind of breezing along and they're on the diet and they're just feeling great and getting better and better and all their, you know, lots of symptoms are clearing up, almost everybody kind of comes to a place along the path where their body has become so much stronger, so much healthier, that the body wants to do a rather strong cleanse, and it'll push a bunch of toxins out or want to push a bunch of toxins out. And the normal elimination, like having a bowel movement every morning or even twice a day, isn't enough. The body is really, really ready to let out a lot of toxins. I mean, really would like to dump a whole bunch of toxins. So if you do an enema or go for a colon therapy session or even a couple in a row, 2, 3, 4 days, you're smoothly, you're just sort of breezing through this intense period of cleansing and eliminating what's in your colon and putting the water in there, which is very hydrating. The body is triggered then to know that it can continue to let out, the cells can let out even more toxins. Now, every major, you know, around the world where people are having, like, retreats or centers where people can go that if they have cancer, a lot of detox centers around the world, they do colon therapy, you know, and why would they be doing it if they didn't find that it really helps people kind of over this difficult period? So look for that. Be on the lookout that you hit one of those periods, and then, you know, consider going in and visiting a colon therapist. This, again, is where I think for new people who are uncomfortable and not ever done anything like this before, that's where you want to go to your colon therapist and, you know, do a series of maybe 4 close together and see if you don't feel so much better. If your eyes aren't brighter and your skin isn't clearer and you just have much more energy when you get through this process. But, you know, the answer really is as needed and when needed, if at all.
Great. And there's a naturopath who was asking, saying that, you know, there are several naturopaths that believe that colonics or enemas should, they don't really believe in them, and they'd rather try all other methods before resorting to a colonic or an enema. They feel like detoxification should go with the flow of the body. So she's asking, you know, do you recommend an alternative to if somebody doesn't believe in colonics, enemas, or coemas?
Well, there's the group of people that don't believe in them, and then there's a certain group of people that are just simply going to always be uncomfortable with them. In Chinese medicine, they did not use colon cleansing techniques. They were used all the time in Ayurvedic medicine, which is even older than Chinese medicine. But this other system of healing, Chinese medicine, used herbs instead to make sure the bowels were always moving as the person was going through their healing. Whatever they were working on with that person, maybe they had a heart problem or some kind of disease or like an infection or something, then they would make sure that in the herbal formulas they gave them that their bowels were moving, so they used herbs. So that would be your other alternative. In naturopathic colleges, however, colon therapy is taught. And so I find that, you know, most naturopaths are very open to colon therapy, and a number of them have a colon therapist in their offices with them. But again, there's always going to be some people who are uncomfortable with them, and then they're the ones that would want to try to find, use the herbs. And the herbs have a back to them too. Everything has a positive and a negative side to them, a front and a back. The back side to doing professional colon therapy or even Kalima boards or enemas, anytime you're rinsing out the current material that's in the colon at the moment, you've emptied the refrigerator, so to speak, and your body is going to get nutrients out of the colon, like B vitamins and hormones and all kinds of things are still down in the colon, and the body's absorbing those nutrients. So now all of a sudden you've rinsed your colon out and it's empty, so there's no food in the refrigerator, so to speak. Well, there's some coming because there's food up in the small intestine that in a few hours will have moved down into the large intestine. But for that period of time, you know, it's like the cupboard's bare. And so that's why I always tell people after you've cleaned your colon to be quiet and still and restful, because particularly the adrenals go looking for B vitamins, vitamin C, and minerals from the colon or from the nutrients in the colon. And so if you're running around madly picking up your kids from school or going back to work or something, you'll be demanding, you'll be pushing your adrenals, and they won't have the nutrients there. So after colon therapy, it's very important to be quiet and still and let your body, and also that's why I think implants are valuable, because you're going to implant minerals and B vitamins and vitamin C can go back into an implant that gets absorbed up into the body, into the bloodstream, and gives this nice boost of energy to the adrenals, nutrients to the adrenals, so that, you know, in a couple of hours, as I mentioned before, the food's begun now to move from the small intestine back down into the large intestine. Some people, I know somebody had asked a question about this too. She had gone in for a colonic and then had didn't have a bowel movement for a couple of days afterwards. That's not unusual, because it can take another day or two for a new stool to form in the colon. And so particularly if you've had a very thorough release and cleansing of the colon. But I don't know. Does that answer the question well enough, do you think?
Yeah, and what happens if in that scenario where somebody didn't have a bowel movement for a couple of days, what happens? Have you noticed or heard people talk about situations where it changes their bowel function and they might, for even a month or 2 months, start having issues with constipation?
Usually when that happens, I just remembered I didn't finish answering that question. I had a feeling I was leaving something out. I'll come back to that in a second. But usually when that happens, the person, that's a sign the person really does need more colon cleansing. Water, when it goes in, will begin to soften certain material and begin to move that material. Some of that material will just be softened and it won't go anywhere. There's just not enough muscle tone, not enough peristaltic energy to move out what's in many people's colons. A couple of days ago, I was at a big event and lots of people were walking around, and I was just shocked at the number of people, particularly because this is a health event, men in particular, that just had enormous bellies. I just was shocked, actually. And that's not a beer belly, or that's not because they've been eating. That's because they haven't been eliminating, and there's years of bowel movements that they didn't have collected in that big belly. And so that doesn't come out so easily. Water needs to soften that material, which is why in the beginning when people go for colon therapy, I think they need to make a real commitment for at least four close together, and then maybe spread out after the first 2 weeks. Let's say in the first week you've had four close together, or the first 2 weeks you've had four close together, then start maybe every 5 days for a while. See what starts to happen. You have to read your own body. You have to do what's right for your own body. But for some people, there's just so much impacted in the colon that and the peristaltic movement is too lazy still. And that healthy peristaltic energy is going to come over time. When you build up the adrenals control muscle tone. As they get stronger and healthier, then you will have better muscle tone or better peristaltic movement in the colon, and then the body can do a better job. It's really a process, and again, that's why working with a professional is a good idea, because they know. I mean, thousands of people have, you know, one colon therapist might see 1,000 people in a year's time, so obviously they have a lot of experience with a lot of different people with a lot of different problems and a lot of different colons, and they know what's kind of normal and can guide you when you have simple questions like this. The other part of that question, I knew there was something else when I was talking about everything has a front and a back. Herbs have a backside to them, too. If you decide to use herbs, it doesn't mean you don't use herbs. Sometimes you use a combination of both, but, again, it's finding a program that works for you. Herbs have a tendency, some of them very much so, to really weaken the adrenals. They are irritating to the colon. They work by irritation, and they expel the material that's in the colon, and they also weaken the adrenals in the process of doing that. And that's exactly the opposite of what you want. You want strong, healthy adrenals to produce the muscle tone to have a healthy peristaltic movement. If you do use herbs, you want to use them cautiously. And I know some people try Senna. Senna is probably the worst, the strongest. So anything I usually tell people, completely avoid Senna altogether. It's just so harsh. And then the most gentle of all the herbal laxatives out there is Triphala, T-R-I-P-H-A-L-A, Triphala. I think I spelled it right. That is an Ayurvedic herb. It's actually three different herbs that are together, and they have a tendency to tone and improve the health of the colon. So the Ayurvedic people really had a good sense, I think, of colon health. And so you might want to read more about Ayurvedic medicine and about the Bastis and so on and their methods of cleansing and Ayurvedic medicine. The Triphala, it's good. Planetary Formulas has a nice product, and you want to take enough of it because it's so gentle, even safe for children to use, really, that you may find it's not effective, and that's only because people aren't taking enough on a regular basis. So you'd maybe need three times a day. They're like tablets, and you take them three times a day. Just find that a special special formula for your body. The other thing is magnesium, particularly magnesium citrate, which there's a product called Calm, C-A-L-M, which is a powder that you can use a small amount of that and some hot water at bedtime and see if that doesn't help your bowels move. Or a combination of the magnesium citrate and the Triphala would be a wise thing to do. But the other common aloe and rhubarb, they're not as harsh as Senna. Aloe is not as harsh. Rhubarb is not as harsh, but they are more irritating to the colon. And again, maybe just a very small amount. Or use the aloe, for example, if you're traveling and you find that your bowels aren't moving, then you use it in a particular moment like that. But you wouldn't want to use these products on a long-term, everyday basis. The goal, ultimately, is to get your colon back to a really healthy, it's producing maybe two stools a day. And there are even, for example, a water that has recently become available called Wata, W-A-T-T-A-H-H. Hard to get, difficult. It's expensive. It's expensive to ship water around the country, and it's not distributed yet, but it's very, very good for constipation. So we're going to have, I think, a lot more, and so that is also an excellent product for getting toxins out of the body. It's very detoxifying, and so I usually tell people to, use it slowly. Start it onto it slowly because it causes, it's so effective at detoxing. But I'm always looking for the most gentle, natural, tuned in with nature ways to get toxins out of the body. And I think as long as we keep that intention, we all want that, all kinds of answers are going to keep appearing for us.
Excellent. So we're now moving on to some questions around how to detox.
One of them is one of the participants asked, if I'm about to start my own detox program, can you give me a step-by-step on how to do this, including the vegetarian diet, the Live Amend, the passion fruit biotic, and Vitality Super Greens? So what they're, I think what they're asking in the handout in class number three, if you will go to the Body Ecology Detox Diet in that handout, Donna actually went through all of the things to include in your diet and gave you some guidelines around how to do that. So that's all outlined in handout number three, handout class number three. I think specifically, Donna, what we didn't cover, we did cover Live Amend, but we didn't cover how to start bringing in specifically Passion Fruit Biotic and Vitality Super Green, even though you talked about the products. Can you talk a little bit about if someone was going to do this detox and they were going to go on the Body Ecology Detox Diet, how would they start incorporating Live Amend probiotic liquids like Passion Fruit Biotic and Vitality Super Green?
Well, those are not just things you do on a, you know, for a special cleanse. Those are things you'd want to do on a daily basis as part of your regular diet because, you know, really every day the body wants to be doing nourishing, easy to digest foods that are never toxic. See, we have to stop putting toxic foods, the hamburger, pizza, Coke kind of diet that, you know, and the terrible fats and oils that are out in our diet. We have to stop that. If you just stop that, I mean, if that's all people did, they're already on great, you know, going to make a significant difference in their health. But these other things are like wonderful things to do that are extra powerful things to add in to support your body becoming, doing, just being healthier, being more powerful, being younger, and so on. So vitality is a nourishing, easy to digest. It's got protein and everything, all the nutrients, minerals, fatty acids, and all are in this food basically. It's kind of like a, you know, the products like Ensure, these meal replacement plans, these are vitality, particularly if you put it with, say, a whey protein concentrate, like the one of the raw and denatured whey protein concentrates, like RenuPro, for example. Those that you have literally a meal replacement plan, you know, a substitute for Ensure when you do something like that, a far superior one. But the fact that the Vitality Super Green is green things cleanse the liver. So you definitely want a green drink in your day, every day. And if you're doing a special, you know, 3-day weekend or 10-day whatever cleanse, you're going to be eating less, you're going to be drinking a lot more fluids, but you still need to be nourished through the cleanse. As a matter of fact, you've got to have energy to cleanse. And so something like the Vitality does give you a lot of energy, and yet it's so easy to digest. So that's the way we need to be thinking during a cleanse, but it's a good thing to eat anytime. And then as far as all the fermented fruit liquids, the Passion Fruit Biotic, the Cocoa Biotic, any of those are just adding more bacteria to your intestines while you're going through the cleanse. Now, what do the bacteria do? We mentioned that in another class, too. They're intelligent beings, and they're communicating to the gut wall. They know what's going on in the body, and they will help you orchestrate the healing and the cleansing of your body. So you always want to have fermented foods and liquids with these tiny little unseen microflora in them that are going to be down inside of you doing their job, which is keeping your body clean. They have many, many jobs, things that they're doing down there, but one of their most important jobs is to keep their world clean. And if that world is clean, then your blood is clean, cells are clean, organs are clean, everything's clean if the intestines are clean. And that's what they do. So you want to definitely always have those. And of course, during a cleanse, even more so. Just take even more of them. Like you could, you know, take, if you were had, hopefully anybody that starts on a cleanse, a 3-day cleanse or something, that they get prepared beforehand. You can't just wake up this morning and say, okay, I'm going to do it, and not have the things around you that you need to do that cleanse with. So, you know, plan for the cleanse and get these things around you that you need, and then you'll just do more of them, and then you don't eat as much during a cleanse. You give your body a give your digestive tract a rest from normal foods like animal proteins, for example. You would never eat breads during a cleanse. You want to have the cleanest, purest foods of all, and those really come from the plant kingdom. So you're going to be eating plant foods. And then these, the passion fruit biotic is giving beneficial bacteria. The Vitality Super Green is cleansing and proteins that you need. And then to take supplements like the Livermin during this time, you know, you're three times a day is a very, very powerful cleanser. Maybe, you know, you wouldn't take as much during, maybe you just would take two with every meal or one with every meal. We have had so many people over the years report that even just two a day lower their cholesterol, and we've just had amazing reports on come back from people using Livermin. But if you're going to go through a cleanse, you might want to do three times a day so that you're getting a lot of the power of those four herbs that are in there, specifically targeting the liver and helping the liver, because that's what the cleanse is about. It's helping the liver become healthier over a period of time. Did that answer it?
Yes, that's good. Thank you. And we have a couple of questions from participants around how long does this take. And so one of them is this participant has been eating Body Ecology meals for a month and still feels like they're full of toxins and wondering, you know, how long does it take to detoxify?
You know, that is another one of those individual questions. I mean, it depends on the individual because some people, their body naturally lets toxins out easily, and other people, their toxins are just more stuck. If it's summertime and somebody is out sweating a lot, riding bicycles and taking walks and, you know, actively walking and or doing some type of exercise program where they're really sweating, even in the winter, they're going to be detoxifying faster than the person who's still sitting at their computer all day and doesn't have any time to exercise. And so it's a really, really individual thing. But if your detoxification pathways are stuck, in other words, your bowels are not moving and so your liver is not able to get the toxins out, you are not sweating effectively because you don't have enough energy to sweat even, your body is going to hold on to the toxins more. It's going to take you much, much longer to, you know, to get those toxins out. So there's things we can do to assist the toxins and assist our body in getting rid of its toxins.